It's Tuesday, October 17th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Well, folks, there's been a whole lot of shaking going on here in Hawaii. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes, but strap in, and you know, it may be very close to the truth. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. And of course, for all of you that are long-term subscribers of the show, hey, thanks for being part of the Ohana, being part of the family. And if you're checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great blogging posts during the week. And of course, you can click on the podcast link to get to all of our archive podcasts. Along with that, make sure you sign up for our newsletter, which is available via the second column of the website. It says podcast newsletter, so that you can get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the completion of the show. How's everyone? It's been a very interesting weekend here in Honolulu. And if you have been watching the national news or was watching on Sunday, I guess we were at top of the talk at CNN and Fox and all the other different channels. It was very interesting. About 6:55 in the morning, and I remember specifically because I rolled over and I looked at the clock because my son, my two-year-old son, had come in the room and he wanted me to get up. So I was kind of, you know how you are, parents, when the little one comes in and you're trying to, you know, go away, but you don't want to say go away because you're trying to fake sleep. Well, he was being very, very, very persistent. And I said, oh, just come on, get up in here in bed with me and your mom and just lay down. And so he had done that for, a couple of minutes. And of course, he says, you know, I'm hungry. Wake up. Well, about the time he was yelling at me to wake up, I heard this rumbling. And it was almost like a jetliner was taken off over at the Honolulu International. And it got louder. Then all of a sudden the house started shaking and the instincts kicked in. And I jumped out of bed, grabbed him, yelled at my wife, come on, it's an earthquake. And I screamed at the top of my lungs at the kids and had woken the two other kids up. And I heard them come a running. So we went down the stairs together, and my wife, being from Japan, she went underneath a table, and, you know, there's no high rises really around here, and I was out the front door. So one of the kids went with her underneath the table, and two of them went with me out the door, so we kind of looked kind of funny, but it did this for about, it probably lasted 35, 45, maybe 50 seconds. And I had to laugh because here I am standing in my BVDs out in my front yard along with the rest of my neighbors. We're all kind of looking at each other kind of funny, you know, because people were in different states of getting dressed or undressed. So I very quickly went into the house and I thought, well, that'll give them something to talk about for a while. And it was about 6 or 7 minutes later, and we had a second one. There was a little bit of a aftershock. But really, here in Honolulu, we were 155 miles away from the epicenter. They're saying now that the earthquake was a 6.7, of course, off the Big Island. So here it was, and of course, I'm outside, like, well, that's just a small one. That wasn't a very big one. And of course, you know, everyone's stories about earthquakes started to come out. But I had been in a big one in 1993 in Guam. I have to find the link for it and put it up in the show notes. I can't remember what it was I mean, it bounced me out of a chair. That was an earthquake that I was in. That one was a that one was one to remember and set all kinds of records too. Was it a seven, either 7.8 or an 8.1? I can't remember what the number was, but that one was down in the trench a little bit, so it was a little ways off the coast of Guam, and really we didn't get the full brunt of it there either, but it was enough to crack walls and that kind of stuff. But anyway, the shortly after the earthquake, I noticed I started hearing my UPSs up in the office start beeping, and I immediately realized that we were probably going to lose power. So I was telling start pulling the plugs on the expensive electronic equipment that's not on UPSs, and I came upstairs and shut the PCs down that were online. And by the time I got up here to shut the computers down, the power was off in the house. And that's where it was. And we were out of power for about 12 hours. And really no worse for wear, I'd be very honest with you. And but it was amazing to see all of the kids in the neighborhood because they weren't playing PlayStation. They didn't have nothing to do, no power. There was kids out that I didn't know the parents had kids. That tells you how many kids were out. So they had they got a baseball game going in the park, and it was the whole community. It was kind of like a big family day. So it was cool. But at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and seeing that Honolulu had not suffered any damage at all, and just this little bit of a minor tremor on our side. And of course, over at the Big Island, it's a completely different story. They had some major structure damage over there. Thank goodness, no major injuries. I think the worst thing was someone broke an arm or something to that effect. So very thankful for that. And of course, a big mess because stuff got shook up all over the place, as typically happens. But we all began to wonder what takes so long to get the power online. And it turns out what had happened was that they'd only had 13. Honolulu has 19 primary generators. 13 of them were online at the time of the earthquake. As soon as the earthquake hit, it tripped three or four of them to shut down. They automatically went into kind of a safe mode and wound down. And then the other ones that were left, the other nine, couldn't handle the load that was put upon them because the power didn't go off right away. It was about 10 minutes before the power went off. And what's kind of being speculated is, of course, it woke everyone in the state up. So everyone started turning on lights, turning on their TVs, an instant surge. They lost four generators because of the shutdown, and then a whole bunch of load was put on them immediately and brought the whole system down. Statewide blackout. Yes, in no rioting. People were polite. The aloha spirit was good. Everyone was allowing people to go through four-way stops. Everyone was acting nice. So pretty cool. But we were back up. It was nice when the juice come back on, I must admit. But I did check email late in the afternoon. I loaded laptop up, and I was able to get on via Sprint, and that went really, really well. I was able to get a critical email I was looking for. But that was kind of the experience here over the weekend. Set me behind in schoolwork because I had a bunch of schoolwork I was going to get done on Sunday that I had put off until Sunday afternoon, and it didn't get done. So I had to make up some of that today. Okay, let me cover a couple of things here real quick. Hey, I'd like some feedback. I've been putting graphics with a lot of my blog posts. Has that drawn more interest for you? Has that helped you get an idea maybe on what articles are before you read them? Has it been incentive to you to come over to the site and see what the post is about? I'd like to hear from you on that. Consumer Electronics Show is getting ramped up. That, a lot of stuff's going on in that space right now. A lot of people are preparing for that January show. The Tech Podcast Network, we're still looking for a sponsor for CES. We'd like to take a team there to do that. Andy McCaskey and I did that last year on our own. We're not going to do that again. They are going to have I can't say it yet. Actually, I've been sworn to secrecy so far, so I have to wait for another couple of weeks before I let you know some special things going on at CES involving podcasting. I guess that's all I can say. Along with that, I wanted to welcome all of the new listeners. I know we have an assortment of new listeners coming out of my hometown that I grew up in Quincy, Michigan. I know that we have some students that are listening to the show, so welcome to the podcast, and I hope that You find some words of wisdom in there, and if you don't, you can write about how bad it was in your report. So we enjoy the show, and I hope that you all stay subscribed that are from the hometown. Okay, just let's give you a real quick update here on my niece. She is doing much better. Of course, they she's got the respirator tube out of her mouth, doing physical therapy. She still can't talk. I guess her throat was just absolutely raw from after 40 days of being on the respirator. They say that's pretty normal, so they expect her to start being able to speak little by little. Progress is good on the physical therapy part. Long way to go, but forward progress at this point. Okay, what else have I got kicking here? All right, let's take care of a little business. And, of course, if you want to get reliable, secure web hosting without the long-term contract, GoDaddy's hosting plans are bigger and better than ever with 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitment. Best of all, plans start at $3.95 a month. Now, plus you can enter the code GEEK5 when you check out and you save an additional 15% off your order of $20 or more. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Now, I'll tell you, they do have month-to-month plans, but always go with the year plan because it's cheaper, a lot cheaper in the long run. Check out their services over there at GoDaddy.com. Of course, you can use the code GEEK5, Todd, Geek, ComSale, Aloha, Central. All of those are combinations of different discounts that you can get. And write those down, GEEK5, Todd, Geek, ComSale, Aloha, and Central, and use them as you see fit. All right. Okay, we're still in the planning process, of course, for our October 28th roundtable, which is sponsored by GoToMeeting. And of course, you know, online meetings save you time and money, but with so many choices, which one is right for you? GoToMeeting is the easiest to use web conferencing service available. You can show any application to your attendees, even if they don't have the same program. And best of all, you can meet as much as you want for one flat rate. You can try GoToMeeting for free for 30 days. And, of course, for this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. GoToMeeting, online meetings made easy. Okay, before we get into the content here, I want to quickly thank everyone that sent me a well-wish card on the earthquake, and I replied to all those, and of course all the voicemail comments as well. But you know something, I have to root for the home team, because here is an unbelievable happening. The Detroit Tigers are going to the World Series, and it's like, this is the first time since like 1984. I just cannot believe it, you know. People always tell me, well, who do you root for? And I say, well, I root for the Lions when, you know, it's for football. And who do you root for baseball? The Tigers. And, you know, people always laugh. congratulations, Detroit Tigers, 2006 American League champions. We'll see how they do in the World Series. And it's a beautiful thing. So we'll see what happens with them against the A's. And the best part is, it gives me an excuse to watch some baseball. I haven't watched any all year. I'm really not a big sports fan normally, but come on, it's a World Series. All right, before you guys turn this thing off, let me get into the content. There's been this firestorm happening all the way through the blogosphere, pointing some big fingers at Walmart, and let me tell you why. Apparently, Walmart has been running a fake blog, and it's been about an average American couple traveling across the country in an RV, spending each night in a Walmart parking lot. It turns out, though, that what this has been a PR deal that has been, it wasn't just some couple that was traveling that had a blog that loved Walmart and was writing about Walmart and experiences of traveling around, staying in their parking lots, but it was actually an event that has been prefabricated, pre-planned by Walmart and the PR firm Edelman. Now, I've got a lot of respect for Edelman, the PR firm. You know, they did a blogger retreat room at the Consumer Electronics Show. This company up to this point has been a very zealous advocate for blogging and with corporate transparency. And it's been, people are blown away that this fake blog that was, you know, this blog that was being portrayed as a real deal turns out to be fake, was nothing but a PR front. And the CEO of Edelman and also Steve Rubel made comments on their blogs basically saying, hey, you know, we were wrong. This is not what we want to represent. I'll put links to their response, but... you know, it's if a company is going to go out, you know what they could have done. Well, you know what Walmart should have been. Walmart should have been smart and went to. There's a lot of you that like Walmart and you shop in Walmart all the time. Why don't we find some of you to give testaments about your experiences with the company, about shopping there. You know, real people, not some PR firm. And, you know, things that have happened that's been good at Walmart or an employee that went out of their way. And even cover the negative stuff, too. All right? That's what Walmart should have done. And it wouldn't have been hard. All they would have had to have done is set up a website and say, hey, if you're a customer and you've got a good, good story to tell about coming into Walmart, you know, submit it here and we'll put it up. And once they verify, make, you know, there's... They could have done an amazing thing here, but instead they had to rig this PR firm and this RV traveling across the country. But you know what ended up happening is Walmart paid for all the travel expenses and they rerouted the this trip's original plan and they put a logo on it but they didn't tell anybody that it was Walmart was the paid sponsor for it. So. Not good. But anyway, that's been all over the blogosphere, and I'm sure that if you've been reading blogs, you've seen about it. I know some of you really like shopping at Walmart, but this is not a smart thing for them to do, and for them to get caught is, whew, it's amazing. It really, really is. It's a big black mark on their entrance into the blog space, I guess. All right, Howard Stern is going to, or probably Sirius. Sirius and Stern are going to be kicking off a new online radio service. 10 months after he's leave the commercial airways for subscription-based Sirius, shock jock Howard Stern is going to be looking to those of you that like to listen to a show and also like to, you know, get some of the programming that's on Sirius when it's available via the internet. They're going to offer a new service where you're going to be able to get 75 channels of CD quality programming over the internet without the need to buy a Sirius satellite receiver for a monthly subscription fee of $12.95. They're going to be giving a 2-day free trial of the Howard Stern Show. And this will be the first time that he's been available for a non-paying audience. So I guess it's going to happen on the 25th or 26th. I guess those are the two dates. But you know what's kind of interesting about this is I know a person that gets the Stern Show via, he brings it in on his iPod every day. Someone is actually records it and then uploads it to a site that's available, either a news group or something like that, and then they download it as a podcast. So, you know, I think people that want to get the content without paying are probably going to be able to find it, and those that want the more, you know, maybe a more reliable source, won't feel bad with paying the $12.95 a month to get the content. I don't know. I don't listen to, you know, I just can't see, unless they're making this service available as a individual download, if it's streaming, why do you want to listen? Streaming's old school. Unless they tie a download component into this, I just don't see how it's going to work, but only time will tell. Probably has to be streaming because otherwise Sirius couldn't get the license for the music. So are you guys going to do that? Any of you Stern fans? Are you going to pay the $12.95 to listen to a show? You can always call the voicemail hotline and let me know, 619-342-7365. Or have you replaced all of your Sirius listening or conventional radio listening, and do you listen to all podcasts now? How many of you do that? I know that probably some of you do a mix of both, so we'll see. Kind of see where the comments come in on this one. Over on TechCrunch, Michael Arrington, actually Nick Gonzalez did a, I didn't know he had a different person posting over there. But anyway, TechCrunch, there was a article written about movie downloads, iTunes versus the rest, and they've reviewed three, well, actually a number of services, primarily Gubba, G-U-B-A, Cinema Now, Movie Link, Amazon Unbox, and of course Apple iTunes. They went and looked at each one of those services, and this is very interesting on the comparisons that they did on if you can buy it, what is the bit rate, what is the resolution of the actual movies that you download. But if you're looking to do movies online, and I know many of you have said that you don't, you just you either rent or go through one of the online rental services. This is very, very interesting comparison here. But anyway, you guys can check it out. A link will be up in the show notes. Well, it seems McDonald's in Japan was having a promotion, and they were giving away MP3 players. And it was a promotion with Coca-Cola, and they teamed up to give away 10,000 self-branded MP3 players preloaded with 10 really cool songs along with some malware. It appears that some of the players had some spyware on it called QQ Pass, which is a family of a Trojan horse, which captures passwords and other personal information when the MP3 player was plugged into the user's PC. The code then proceeds to email the details to the author, but apparently McDonald's in Japan has set up a 24-hour hotline where they are investigating the matter and will swap out all the offending players. Now, you imagine you get an MP3 player from McDonald's. It's cool. It's a freebie. You go home, you put it in your, you stick it into your USB slot on your computer, and you become infected with spyware. I think we're just going to have to chalk that up to a Dumber and Dumber move of 2006. We'll have to put them in the running for bonehead moves of the year that will. That's what I come up with, the ultimate bonehead moves at the end of the year. So this will definitely go in the pile. But if you any of you listening from Japan, I would love to hear the commentary that's happening on the Japanese blogs on this. All right, for those of you that are Firefox fans and you're looking for a little bit of information on where the team is headed with Firefox and their thought process behind the new release, I'm going to put it's a very informative post up, and some of it may be really, really dry for those of you that are non-programmers or dealing with APIs or really want to know what's going on behind the scenes. But those of you that do, it's at weblogs.mozillazine.org roadmap archives, and I'll have a link to it in the show notes, of course. So I found it to be a pretty fascinating read. Now, how many of you just recently, I know we got ours, we got our brand new phone book, got our brand new Yellow Pages, and when it got here, it was in a big bag. I thought someone had left trash at the front of our house, and when I went out and checked it was actually a phone book that was, I'm not kidding you, the thickness of a tree trunk, and the Yellow Pages did together probably 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 pages worth of two different phone books, White Pages and Yellow Pages. And I carried these in the house, and I said to my wife, I said, when did we get any phone books before? She goes, oh, I've got all the old ones stored in this little cubbyhole. And she took me out in the garage and opened a drawer up that she had. And there was the 2004, 2005, and I slid the 2006 editions right in there on top and shut the door. I'm like, well, I said, I guess at some point we're going to have to turn this stuff in for recycling. But in the kind of the conversation ended right there. I kind of, because I had kind of laughed. I said, I haven't used the Yellow Pages or the White Pages in years. How about you all? Are you still using Yellow Pages, or do you search online? If a company's not online, do you do business with them or not? Or do you, if you're looking for something new, do you actually go dig up that that paperweight and look through it? I'll be honest with you, I cannot remember the last time I actually had to look in the Yellow Pages. Maybe once in the last year, if I'm thinking back, maybe one time I had to look for an address or something, but that was, I don't think so though. So the question is here, why are phone companies still doing that? Why are companies still paying big money to be in the yellow pages when everything's online? You know, if you're not online and you don't have your site set up to be found, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you're not even in business. So, and this was followed up today by Dan Gilmore. He got his yellow pages in the mail and he said, yeah, I'm going to put them right in the recycling box, put it on the curb. You know, it went straight into recycling because he doesn't use it anymore either. So how about you all? All right, there's a, I know this isn't super techie, but it was kind of a antidote to an interesting conversation I had the other day with someone. But you all, some of you probably watched that special series that was on TV that was called Path to 911. Apparently, the writer of that that ABC event, or the series, or I guess it wasn't a series, it was a show that they played on ABC that I had missed. They've hired this guy to work on a movie for the book that's called The Hunt for Bin Laden. Now, there's a lot of books out there on the war in Afghanistan, and there's a lot of stuff on the war on terror. There is one book in my house that I'm holding in my hands right now that I have read, and a lot of the stuff in here makes sense from my perspective. I guess that's all I'll say on that. And but it's a book by Ballantine Books, and it was a New York Times bestseller. It was written by Robin Moore, and he's the author of The Green Berets. But it's a very, very good book. And if you're looking for, you know, a book, I guess that comes probably as close as I would think to talk about what really happened in Afghanistan, probably a good book to read. The Hunt for Bin Laden, very, very good read. And again, it's the only one that I personally have. And I encourage you to pick it up if it's something, a subject that you're interested in. But I, you know, kind of it struck me as funny that they were going to hire this guy to do the movie on this. And, you know, the movie's never as good as the book. That's the way it always works. But anyway, doesn't matter. Moving forward. Okay, on CNetNews.com, Sun Power, which is a company, are claiming today that they have some technology that is boosting solar panel output. They say that they've boosted the efficiencies and the size of solar panels to increase the output of them by like 43%. So this is huge. So any of you that are out there that are getting ready to build a house and you want to put solar panels on it, you'll definitely want to check out this company. They're out of San Jose, California. Link will be up in the show notes. And do you have solar panels on your house? Let me know. Hey, there was a big rumor mill going on today. It was talking about, hey, SETI is going to announce some major announcement done today. And it got dug. It was like 580 people dug the story, and a bunch of blogs picked up on it. And I had to laugh because when I went to check the site today, I follow what's going on at SETI. So when I went over to spaceref.com, major SETI Institute announcement, editor's update for all of you out there who have been waving your arms around and speculating. This is not an announcement about finding a signal from ET, the face on Mars, or anything else. It is far more mundane. Details of the announcement were released under press embargo to reporters last week. A press release about the announcement will be issued Tuesday by the SETI Institute. So this is kind of a guy saying, hey, if we'd have found out that there's ET was calling home, do you think we would have waited a week and told reporters about it and made them sit on this? So it's apparently going to be a mundane announcement, but it got a whole bunch of people hyped. Everyone was pointing at it because saying SETI was going to make a major announcement. Boy, I tell you, people are just dying for some sort of looking for some sort of that type of news. All right, we all know what Black Friday is, right? That's the day after Thanksgiving. Well, there's a lot of sites out there that are really looking for all the Black Friday advertisements. They're trying to get this early scoop on them. And you can go over to blackfriday.info. The first one of the year has been found. It comes from Ace Hardware, the helpful people. And they're not a sponsor here. But Looks like they're going to have some electronics on sale. Go figure. For those of you guys that are going to need some extra batteries, they're going to have batteries on sale. They're going to have tools, of course, for the guys. But you guys can check this out. I have the link up in the show notes. If you find anything that's going to be good deals on Black Friday that you can let us know about in advance, because, you know, that's what all of us do, even the geeks. We run out there and get that newspaper and open it up and go through. I know I pull out the CompUSA. I pull out the all the companies that have geek stuff. I pull that stuff out and I scour it, finding the good deals. And then I say, okay, we're going to go stake a claim at this place to get one of these, because usually they only have five or six of the real cheap things. But if you can do your pre-shopping planning now before Black Friday, well, you're going to be more prepared. So check out blackfriday.info. This is a site that you guys will be able to use to your advantage as it gets closer to that time. All right, I haven't heard too much about this product. I did see a couple of write-ups on it. It's called Ice Squint. And apparently this product has been getting a lot of utilization. And it converts videos for the iPod new format and video format. So check it out. And I guess it's free. I guess that's the best thing. So I'll put a link to this. And those of you that are out there that are looking for some video converter applications for the Mac, this would be good for you. There's an article on Slashdot that references another article, but what was a takeaway here is the title that says, "Is the botnet battle already lost?" But it appears that the researchers and companies that are out there that are trying to fight off these botnet attacks are basically saying, hey, we're 2 to 3 years behind, and we're not having much luck keeping up. There's nothing a lot we can do for it. And generally, there's been a feeling of hopelessness that has been put upon the community that is trying to combat this, because the botnet organizers or those that have botnets have gotten very, very good at, you know, essentially if the software's smart enough, if one server gets shut down, it automatically shifts to another. And they're admitting they're not making much forward progress on that. So, but what I did find on this, it's most interesting of all, is a image gallery of a botnet in action. And I think this is pretty cool. This comes off the eWeek site. So there'll be two links up for this. And if you want to see the gallery of a botnet in action, you can check out the posting over at eWeek. And of course, I'll have the link up from Slashdot as well. All right, Engadget is reporting that Creative is looks like it's the latest manufacturer to fall prey to the RIAA's war on FM recording. Now, if you remember correctly, and for those of you that have ever recorded any FM, you know, recording FM has been about as basic as it gets. But the RIAA is not real happy with these little portable units being able to record the FM signal directly. Apparently people are listening to the radio and then they're recording on their little device music off of that radio station, and then they're cutting that into music that they're going to put on their portable players, and so they don't have to pay for music. Well, the RIAA has been saying this has been killing music and home taping is going to destroy us and we have to stop this. But they've been on this campaign to get after these companies to shut this recording functionality down. Well, we all know that satellite radio devices were the first to fall to this issue. And now it looks like Creative is going to has released a firmware update for Zen Microphoto and a Zen Vision M players. So if you want to maintain recording capability on your Zen Vision M, then do not upgrade the firmware on that, okay? All right, those of you that live in the UK, some of you, I'm sure, love to drive fast. Well, did you know that if you get near one of those spec speeding cameras and you change the lane, it can't figure out how fast you're going and you won't get a ticket? You didn't hear it from me, but it's linked over at Engadget. So if you've got a tendency to drive a little too fast and you know where these specs monitoring devices are at, you can beat them by a simple lane change. Of course, the government officials are begging people not to take advantage of this exploit. All right, there's a very good article on Wired, It's about a MySpace predator who has been caught by some code that was written by an individual. 1,000 lines of code was able to catch a predator where MySpace has been unable to act on predators on MySpace. So that was a mouthful, wasn't it? But this is a 3-page article that all of you that are on MySpace, your parents, or if you have kids, you need to take your kids and have them read this article that's on Wired. You know, send it to them via email, and it's definitely going on the read list here, because there's some creepy folks out there. There really, really is. And luckily, some individual code has been able to catch one of these guys at the point of where some child could have been endangered. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. It's probably the link of the day, folks, on stories. And again, it's one that you're not going to want to miss. Make sure that you click through to it. Okay, Robin Good, of course, we're going to talk about his new media picks of the week, but he's also got another article that came out that says blogs, wikis, podcasting, social networks, and file sharing, how the web is transforming itself, part one. This is going to be a multiple-part article. Starts out pretty good. It's written by a couple of people that I have never heard of before. But they've got a lot of good information here so far on this that kind of talks about how these technological advancements are, you know, are changing the internet and changing the web completely. So look forward to this. I guess this is going to be a 7-part series. So we'll keep our eyes peeled on this. I'll be putting links up to this within the website at Geek News Central, but I'm sure you'll want to check it out yourself as well. All right, new media picks, new media tools of the week. This is Sherwood Picnic number 74, and he's got a couple of cool things over here. One of them is Connect Me Anywhere, is a service that allows you to make worldwide calls from your mobile phone at the prices you're used to paying for from your desktop. There's a cool app, a cool site called Jopz, J-O-P-P-Z. It's a web-based text messaging service that enables two-way communications from the web to any mobile phone. Group members only. This looks like a very interesting deal where you integrate blogs, instant messaging, chat, discussion forums, event calendars, group libraries, video libraries, and a job database. Free. Very, very, very cool. My Tickler file. Well, what do you think that service is? It's for managing projects, tracking time, and monitoring your activities. Very, very cool little tool. Pure Video is a search engine for videos that uses RSS feeds to build its index. I guess that's the only ones I were really interested in there. He's got 10 or 11 sites that he's reviewed, so you can check that out. All right, those of you that follow TailRank over at TailRank.com, they've got a new page design, so they've relaunched that today. At the same time, Robert Scoble did a review comparing TailRank, DigTech, TechMeme, and of course compared it to Google Reader as well. And Robert's got a very good article on this, and goes into details of what he thinks are the highlights of each of those services. So you guys can check that out. And essentially, his conclusions and mine are the same, and I'll save that mystery to when you guys read it. Okay. All right. What else have I got here? Oh, we already talked about that. I must have linked that up twice. How did I do that? All right, let me move over. I did something here, messed up my sequencing. All right, Apple Insider's reporting that Apple is seeking the rights to the iPhone trademark. I guess this iPhone is getting much closer to possible reality. Of course, Apple Insider's been about as accurate as anyone else is in these predictions. But we do know that Apple Computer filed a trademark for the term iPhone. Now, this is maybe suggesting the company plans to use the term in its new or highly anticipated iPod cell phone. So, I got my iPhone. I've got my iPod. Come on. It's my phone, baby. It's not an iPhone. It's my phone. Maybe I should go out there and register my phone. What do you think that would fly? It's a little small, my, capital PHONE.com. I ought to go check and see if that's available right now. Let's do that while we're online here. You know, I guarantee you It's not going to be available, but let's just go over to my good friends at GoDaddy, and let's type in my phone. Let's see here. My phone. I'll laugh if this thing's available. Myphone.com. Is it available? Of course not. It's already taken. .com.net.org.info.biz.us. And no, I'm not going to register the .mobi. But no, Apple. It's my phone, not iPhone. All right, AT&T, this disturbs me just a little. All right, so it's time to get up on the soapbox. Soapbox time with Todd. Here is the headline. AT&T makes network neutrality concessions. All right, you got my attention. AT&T is willing to adhere to the Federal Communications Commission's network neutrality principles for 30 months. Yes, you heard me right. 30 months after the official closing of its proposed merger with BellSouth, according to AT&T's latest filing with the FCC. All right. How many of you remember when AT&T and the Bells had this monopoly on the phone services throughout the United States? How many of you remember when there was a federal breakup of the Bells, and it separated AT&T away from the Bells? How many of you remembered when someone asked you what kind of long distance you had, the only answer you had was AT&T? I'm sure many of you remember that. Some of you don't. For those of you that don't, a number of years ago, the Bells were broke apart, and AT&T was separated from them in order to encourage competition, and companies like MCI and Sprint came into the space and were able to sell a long distance and compete with AT&T. And supposedly, by breaking up the Bells, this would allow other companies to come in and compete at the local level to provide telephone service. Well, we all know that was a dismal failure. Comcast was probably the only company that made any inroads into putting in local phone systems, but I almost guarantee 95% of you that listen to this show that are on it still on a dial-up line, on a regular POTS line, has some sort of a Bell company as your local telephone provider. Well, now with AT&T, they want to, you know, they're going out and they want to buy BellSouth. All right. Well, obviously, people are kind of worried about this. And the Justice Department, why they approved the deal, I have no idea. Someone over there is obviously did not do a history lesson. One of the chairmen of this also supported an unconditional approval of the merger. We broke these folks up to have competition, which never happened. So now they're going to let AT&T apparently buy BellSouth. But this, what makes me angry here, is AT&T's saying, oh, we'll comply with the network neutrality principles for 30 months. Only 30 months? The part of the deal should be you will abide by those principles until the FCC changes them. Hold the line. 30 months? That's an insult. That's 2.5 years. Oh, we'll be good for 2.5 years, and we won't charge Google money to let their traffic go through to people that are requesting the information off their domain, or we won't build a separate internet and have a high speed line that you have to pay a toll to be on, and then we'll have the slow lane down here. You know. I'm sorry, AT&T, boy, oh boy, oh boy. I just want to say some more stuff, I really do. For those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about on the Bell breakups, all you got to do is Google Bell breakups. Happened in the 80s. Check it out. Do some history on your own. Do some research. And get back with me, okay? I don't think this merger should be approved. I really, really don't. You know, they have not, first of all these commissions, all of these public utilities commissions, and everyone else, all the all the way throughout the United States and every community has stood behind these bells and made it so hard for other companies to come in and compete. Now, we're routing around them with voice IP. We are. But guess what? They own, AT&T owns a lot of the backbone of the nation. So do these bells. Ultimately, you're going to cross the bells someplace. If they can't have their cake, you're not going to have it too. But this merger, someone give me five distinctive reasons why this merger is good for the public. Why? I really don't understand it. I really, really don't. But anyway, we will see what happens here. Oh, here's one. For new internet customers, AT&T proposes to offer broadband services at $10 a month for an unspecified time period, 30 months. This makes me mad. It really, really does. Okay. I played with this site a little bit before. It's called Sedo, SEDO.com, and they do domain name auctions as well. Now, they're setting up something new they're getting ready to release here that I think is totally awesome. They're going to let people to kind of do domain name auctions like you sell stuff on eBay. Sound intriguing? Sounds very intriguing to me. So we'll see what happens, what they do when they have this auction site set up. Now, what I would like to do is sell some domains, but I want to get so much for them. But I'd love to have people bid on them, you know, get in a bidding war over domains. This could heat things up dramatically. And if you've got some domains to sell, keep your eyes on what's going on over at Sedo, SEDO.com. All right, Sony's decided to recall 300,000 batteries. The Business Daily said Sony would like to recall 300,000 batteries used in its own PCs, bringing the worldwide recall total to about 8 million. Sony has not disclosed how many of its own PCs would be affected by the widening recall. Well, it says 300,000. It's 300,000 batteries, 300,000 PCs. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Duh. anyway, they're predicting Sony is going to have a very bad quarter because of all these battery losses, and other companies are getting a little bit scared, and they might actually start suing Sony because they're hurting their brand name. Okay, a little bit of info. I haven't fully figured out the details on this, but Microsoft is caving on Vista security. Essentially, what they're going to do is they're going to allow Symantec and a couple of other companies to have a way into Windows to do patches to different things where they weren't going to have that capability with Vista before. I'll see if I can find out some more information on that. Also, if you hadn't heard, Google opened up a ping service. So those of you that are bloggers, you can actually ping Google now when you update your site. Well, we've got great news. I subscribed to their changes.xml file. And it's full of porn, it's full of spam, it is unusable. So Google, welcome to the club, baby, because maybe you can do something about getting rid of all this junk that's being pinged onto people's servers. Do you know that every day of the week, my domain at geeknewscentral.com and the three blogs, my podcast, my link blog, and my website has attempted over 5,000 comment spams or attempted to be placed on it, and over 100,000 trackback pings come into my server every day trying to get fake trackbacks and fake comments uploaded to my site. Think about that number. Think about the traffic that is using just to deal with the stuff that doesn't count. And how do I make sure that your stuff, when it does come through, does count? So, you know, if you see something you like on geeknewscentral.com, you see a story, hey, feel free to use it on your blogs. Just, you know, give us the courtesy of giving us a link back to the original content. We don't mind that. If it's in our Creative Commons license, you can read it. And, of course, we want you to enjoy all the the postings over on Geek News Central itself. All right, I got some voicemail that came in. The first one came in via email, so I'm going to play this. This is from Alan, and Alan has got a great post here, so I'll run this for you.
Hello, Todd. This is Alan Scale calling from Medicine Hat, Alberta. I'd just like to say congratulations on reaching 200 shows, and I've been listening to you for about 12 months on my cheap old Sanyo MP3 player. You were one of the first shows I downloaded, along with some other tech shows and some genealogy podcasts that I like to listen to. Actually, this is the first time I've used this voice recorder to send any kind of mail.
Works good.
So I hope it works once I listen to it. And good luck, and here's to another 200 more. Bye-bye.
Rock on, and thank you so much for that. I appreciate that comment and taking the time to send that to me. All right, I got an email from Bree. She says a generation is, and we're talking about baby boomers here, a generation is 18 years, so they tell us. The baby boomer generation began on January 1st, 1946, and went on for 18 years. So that makes it from 1946 to 1964. Bree, I just made the cut, my friend. I didn't realize that until now. Now it makes me feel really, really old. And my mom is definitely before the baby boomer age. I guess, what did they call that? The greatest generation, I guess. Is that what they called them, or or didn't she make that cut? Anyway, I'm going to have to look that up and see how they break these down. But, interesting. I made the very end of the baby boomer age. It makes me feel so old. Okay, I got an email from, another email from Canada. It says, aloha from Ottawa. I use the Zencast from Creative Lab since its first beta, and I'm happy with it in general. Has some quirks in getting some podcasts on the first try, or had some problems with improperly formatted RSS, but nothing major. I use several Creative Labs products, including the Creative Zen Microvision 8G, and I'm very satisfied with it. I sent some more feature requests to Creative Labs about the Zencast, and I can only cross my fingers. One of them is importing exporting OPML podcast list files from the device. I'd like the list of my subscriptions become as mobile as my device, so wherever I am, I can download them without having to redefine them in Zencast. So now I'm looking for something that could grab podcasts and put them all in a unique directory as opposed to directories based on the podcast title. What I want to do is download onto a USB storage device that I can then put into my player. Any ideas? And I'm thinking about scripting something in Perl to run under Linux. Let me think about that a little bit, Gene, and we'll see what I can come up with on that. I'm sure some of the audience members will have some comments as well. Oh, I have another audio comment here. This came from Kevin. Let me cue this up. All right, we're all cued here, and here comes a comment from Kevin.
Aloha, Todd. First and foremost, hope that you and your family and all your associates there at Blueberry are safe after the earthquake over there in Hawaii. In any case, this is Kevin Crossman. I'm here from the Frat Pack Podcast, a proud member of the Blueberry Network. Congratulations on 2 years of the Geek News Central Podcast. I do want to give you some feedback that I'm really appreciating the science stories, especially the space-oriented stories. That's something I don't often hear on a lot of tech-oriented podcasts, and I appreciate it. With regards to your rant on iTunes, I wanted to get some more information about that. You were pretty strong that you couldn't find anything. Some specific examples of stuff you were trying to find would be helpful. I would agree with you that there is probably too much emphasis on mass media-oriented podcasts, but at the same time, I do like the iTunes directory. I like that they have the podcast sections. So, for example, mine is in TV and film, and there's the featured podcasts that are within that are a good mix of mass media and independently produced ones. I know within the technology section, there are subcategories for tech news, of which Geek News Central is featured there as well. Now, I do think it's good for you and all podcasters to keep all of the podcast directories honest, especially Apple, and to point out problems that there are in the directories. At the same time, if you are going to point something out, try to use some specific examples rather than just ranting that the directory sucks. So in any case, keep up the great work, and again, hope all of you are safe. Aloha.
Aloha. And I tell you, we are all safe. And you know, the Blueberry team is actually spread out throughout the United States. New York, Michigan, Ohio, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Colorado. So we're all across the country. So I'm the only one in Honolulu. So this member is fine. And so far as the iTunes goes, you know, I guess my frustration is when I get listeners telling me I can't find shows in iTunes. It doesn't make sense to me. How do I navigate it? You know, they have one little browse link up in the top right-hand column that most people miss. So if they don't see that and they don't click on that, they can't actually get to the other directory. So my big thing is make that thing flash or put it big so people can see that link much, much easier. It's more predominant so that they can get in and navigate the specific directory. So I guess that is probably number one complaint with them. And, of course, the directory listings themselves, podcasters have been notoriously bad in putting in all kinds of little stupid hyphens and plus signs and whatever to try to get their podcast listed in the very beginning of the listings. You take every one of those and you ban them. You ban them for 90 days, and that type of activity would stop. Or you filter it out. That's what we do. We filter it out at Blueberry. Any of that stuff that's in the beginning of a word, boom, it's gone. We don't allow it. And, of course, our system's set up anyway to promote shows that are new, not necessarily alphabetical list. All right, I got an email from Donna, and I think this is really important email I want to read. After listening to your last show, I had to write regarding the Wikipedia comment. I am a high school teacher in Pennsylvania, and I encourage my students to use Wikipedia as a starting point in their research and then look at Wikipedia's source and other sources. Wikipedia isn't a bad site, but it can't be the only site that they get their information. That can be a problem for them because very often, once they have the information they need, they want to move on with their project and not look for more or validate the information they have. In my mind, that is part of the high school student learning process. Any researcher can't stop with just one source. I agree. Many people, teachers and students, use Wikipedia but don't realize that they can edit it. We're in a time that students need technology mentors, and many teachers and parents are not prepared to do that. There are teachers willing to learn but don't have the opportunity, but there are many that are not. I try to do my part by offering opportunities to teachers to learn. I use some of the technologies that aren't blocked with my students and hope they can transfer their technology skills to other classes that aren't. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox now, Donna. Donna, I'm going to tell you what, that was a beautiful email. And here's my suggestion. Help these teachers and help these parents by doing a podcast that talks about this stuff. Have an education, you know, technology information transfer podcast. Think about it for a little bit. And we'll help get these people educated on this stuff. That's what we really, really need to do. And, you know, we'll do our part here. And if you need some help with hosting or whatever, I'll handle it for you. But let's get this information into people's hands that needs it. You know, research paper I'm doing, which is only right now requires a 1,000-word research paper. It's very relatively small. I have to have 7 sources. And 3 of them have to be from different types of stuff. I have to have like 3 from the internet, 2 personal, using LexisNexis or something like that, one of those sources. So, yeah, variety. It's just, you know, people that write papers have to learn. They have to have different sources. And I agree, it is part of the high school learning process. Oh, man, we are going to blow out an hour today. So, all right, let me go down here. You got another email on the Creative Zen. I got it from David. He says, hey, my name's David Jones. I recently became a proud member of the Blueberry Network with my podcast, the Jonesy Podcast. Send me a promo there, David. I was listening to your podcast, been a listener for about a year and a half, and heard a caller talk about the Creative Z of M and using Zencast 2 as a podcatcher. I've been using a Creative Zen Envision M and Zencast for about 6 months now and really like it. Really like the Zencast software, though. I wish it had a few more features. I'm going to do a review on the Creative Zen and Zencast service on my podcast, and we'll write it up as an article on the blog also. Please let us know when you get that up. All right, I skipped some emails, but let me go back up here, and let's get a couple more voicemails in. Don't know if I'm going to be able to play them all today, but we'll try here.
Hey, Todd, Christopher Robsky calling.
Hey, Chris.
Long-time listener, been with you just about since the beginning. In fact, I was one of the very first winners way back December 31st of 04, you were giving away $20 as a first prize. And I just wanted to call in and congratulate you on your 200th show, the book, and everything that you've done for the podcasting space over the last couple of years. And as I'm leaving this, I give my sympathies.
Hey, thanks for that so much. Appreciate your comments there, and thanks for your words of sympathy. I didn't want to continue that on through, kind of trying to put that to rest a little bit. But, hey, thanks for your comments, and thanks for being a long-term subscriber here. Definitely appreciate your support and your participation in the show. All right, a couple more here. Let me play this one.
Hey, Todd, this is Thomas. I emailed you, and you actually read my email on the air today on the podcast that I just downloaded this morning before I went to work. I'm the one that had the Zen Vision M, and I absolutely love it. I had a Creative MP3 player before from a couple years ago, the Zen Extra, and I just recently got this Vision M. I absolutely love it. The screen is beautiful on it. And the ZenCast software is actually very nice. And I can subscribe to any podcast as long as I have access to the XML file. I look forward to getting your email when I get home. I'm actually in the car driving home now. So just keep up the good work, and thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you so much.
Hi, Todd. This is Tom from the Fog View podcast, and just wanted to leave a couple notes about your last show. First off, I want to say I'm glad you and your family are okay from the earthquake that hit Hawaii on Sunday.
Thanks.
That was quite an earthquake, and I'm from the San Francisco area, so we're very much keenly aware of earthquakes, so glad everything is okay there. So on some comments about, you mentioned about the .mobi names for websites, and I can see where that could be useful, but it would seem that a normal website, you know, with a .com name could easily be retrofitted to handle mobile devices. There are a number of websites out there that will actually detect what kind of browser you have, what screen size, whether it's a mobile device, and then display things accordingly. And I could see maybe if you're looking for a domain name that's taken in the .com or, you know, .net or .org, and the MOBI might be available, but then you might come into you know, trademark issues and such, but I still think you can do what you want to do with normal websites. The second item you mentioned about the Palm Trios and being able to get the unlocked version, generally that's for GSM phones, and you'll probably find that most carriers will not offer an unlocked phone. An unlocked phone means the phone itself can be moved from carrier to carrier. And you can put anybody's SIM in there as long as it's compatible with the phone. And typically the carriers will not allow that because they want to lock you into to their service. You can go to the Palm website, and Palm has been offering unlocked GSM phones. So that's probably what that reference is to. And Palm has also been trying to release a number of products that have a little less features and, of course, less price, you know, so the lower the cost of entry into that. So they're trying to release a number of Palms that will have, you know, get more people to buy them because they can offer them for less money. And the other interesting thing about that is Palm no longer, you know, indicates that it's a Palm OS, Palm operating system. About a year ago, Palm actually started building in Windows Mobile 5 as an option into some of their devices. So a Palm Trio device can actually contain the Palm OS or the Windows Mobile 5 OS, depending upon what your preference is. All right, thanks a lot, and thanks for the great shows, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, thank you so much. You know, I also found a website at one time that has unlock codes. So actually, if you've got a phone, you're getting ready to switch carriers into the same type of network, like I've got a Motorola phone that is multiband, and so it's just like that same situation. I go overseas, I can put a different SIM in it, but I was able to get the unlock code to unlock it so I can use those different SIMs. I'll see if I can find, if you do a search on Geek News Central for unlock codes for phones, I think you'll find an article that links to a website that has all those secret codes for phones that manufacturers don't want you to know about. Thanks for that comment. Great one. I appreciate that.
Hi, Todd. This is Theo from Dallas, Texas. I would just kind of say congrats on 2 years of podcasting. I love the show. I'm actually a Blueberry podcaster. I actually started because I went to blueberry.com when I was listening to your podcast and found more great shows there. I just wanted to say I love the tribute show. I really thought it was a great thing to your dad, and just want you to know that you are definitely in my...
Hey, thank you so much, and appreciate your comments there on that, and also your words of sympathy. It's definitely appreciated. All right, I think last voicemail comment for the night. Let's see if I make sure this is the last one.
Hello, this is Kelly Herndon. I emailed...
Oh, don't, Kelly, we can't play that one. That's got some trade secrets in it, don't we? Kelly, email me back again. The email with that proposal did not make it to me, okay? I did not get an email. All right, wow, hour and 5 minutes. Let's get you all out of here. Hey, thanks for everyone for tuning in, being part of the family here. Of course, send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Send your constructive and informative voicemails to 619-342-7365. Thanks for all your support and the outpouring. It's definitely continues to be very humbling and very appreciative. Didn't mean to cut you guys all off in audio on some of those voicemails, but hey, thanks anyway. I do appreciate it. All right, I guess that's it, and we will see you on Friday. Everyone have a great week, all right? Take care, and we'll see you next time. Aloha.